A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people show. Come on to the premiere show. SmackDown!
It's the 26th of February in the year of our Lord, 2002.
The Royal Variety Performance of 2002.
Montez Ink and Enrique Iglesias are clearly the best tag team since Spike Dudley and Taz because they're still number one in the films and the music, and you get it. Channel 5 has secured the rights to show the UK TV premiere of Steven Spielberg's World War II epic Saving Private Ryan. Saving a deal. They also get Fatal Attraction, The General's Daughter, and An Officer and a Gentleman. I always like it, you know, when a film's done good, when they arrive as a package deal with something else.
Yeah, like a box set. Mm. She was only The General's Daughter, but she knew what Reggie meant.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
How do you know the old thing from Viz, which is, oh, she was only the fisherman's daughter, but she lay in the slab and yelled, fill it.
Delightful.
Sir Alex Ferguson, I almost call him just Alex then, because I'm his mate, obviously, changes his mind about retiring as Man United manager at the end of the season and signs a new contract, which he'll keep at the club for at least another 3 seasons.
Very Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not leaving. Mm. I'm not leaving.
Yeah, it worked out okay for them in the end, didn't it? You bastard. And in Emmerdale, Zach sneaks out at night, determined to find proof about his dad's death. What?
I heard about your father, Zach.
Don't say it. Tristan.
Tristan Tage.
Just move over there. And I'm reminded that the big game this week, as a grim reminder that Matthew is sometimes wrong, is NBA 2K2.
Yeah!
What are you on about, Matthew? Of course it's an annual franchise. Why would you make such a mistake about video games? However, it's not EA, it's Sega Sports / ESPN. So it would be confusingly named 2K1, 2K2, 2K3, which I guess is technically correct, but I put, hey, more, what? Hey, Sega, less Alan Iverson, more Sonic.
I mean, that's a fair shout.
Okay.
That's a fair shout.
Sega and wrestling? Ah, Tish and Piffle, right? Anyway, you are listening once again to Dulcet Tones of myself, Matthew, and his good mate, Tom. It's the Cult of the Classic SmackDown review. Tom, how the hell are you doing?
Bloody love Tish and Piffle on the Mega Drive. But I just wish they made another Sonic game. I'm good, thank you, Matthew. I'm all good this week. What's been happening this week? I've finally been playing Sonic Superstars, talking of Sonic games.
Sonic Superstars.
Which is the new one that Sega released about a month ago.
Oh.
It's okay.
Oh, that one. Oh,
it's yeah. Okay.
It looked like an okay Sonic game.
It improves on what Sonic 4 was dramatically.
God, what a compliment.
But it's just okay. It's fine. I had fun playing it. It was all right. Wow. Did a thing.
If people who don't know, saying something better is better than Sonic 4 is like saying a wrestling match is better than Hogan Warrior 2.
It isn't the greatest of compliments, but it's a compliment nonetheless. How are you, Math?
I'd rather shove bees at my arse than play Sonic 4. But you're right, yes, there are worse things. I'm Dean Grand. Lots of life changes for the better happening soon.
Oh, what an enigmatic reply.
It's a ghost. I try Sonic Mystic Man. She's dead. She was Zach Dingle's dad.
Oh, God bless her. God bless her. Now that's nice. There's not so nice things happening as we dramatically tumble towards Christmas. It's that bit now where we're just in a free fall till the end of the year, and everything just falls in and falls and falls and falls. It's Full Gear tonight. Come watch it with myself and Fraser Porter. the penultimate AEW show of the year because they decided to put a show on New Year's Eve. Eve, you bastards! Fucking live it.
It's like they're booking things as a reason to not have a crowd.
Do you reckon that's
what Why did this draw badly? Oh, well, yeah, it's New Year's Eve. People are getting fucked.
Oh, what's happened? Ah, well, somebody lost the key to the front door of the building, so no one's come in. Yeah.
The Millennium Virus. Broke all the computers.
Y2K broke all the computers and nothing can happen.
Oh, no.
Oh, I like that. That's funny.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know what else is funny? Tom reading about the wrestling news.
That is really funny. That's what I'm going to do right now. Mate, I know how much you love when we talk about World Wrestling All-Stars and the XWF.
Yay!
I present to you a rundown of this week's WWA pay-per-view event, Revolution.
I've seen this.
So you know what the crack is here.
Yes.
So WWA, if you haven't been paying attention, has been a promotion born from the rubble that was the Monday Night War, where they've just sort of tried to click together a promotion with bits of burnt out metal and body parts left over from the eruption. And this is what we're trying to get. We're trying to get a new second promotion, and it's not happening. The Observer says WWA, the Revolution, was a sad night. Because it was the latest public affirmation that nobody is going to be challenging the WWF anytime soon. The show is a big improvement over the Australia show, but nowhere near it needs to be as far as an organization. Now, Eric Bischoff was backstage.
He's back.
Him and Ernest Miller were just backstage, just dicking about.
Sparring.
Having a little far more interesting was happening in the ring. He was laughing off any questions and allegations that he might be going to the WWF, but saying never say never. Basically, the show itself.
Bless you. Bless you.
Sorry, I'm allergic to Eric Bischoff's bullshit. The show. It drew just under 3,000 fans, very papered, at the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas. There were people outside the venue as the show was getting underway, handing out tickets, going, please come into the Aladdin Theatre and watch some wrestling. At the start of the show, the building looked like fucking when Five Star ran the Newcastle Arena. And then they decided during the first match to get everybody who was sat quite high up to come closer to the ring so they could take nice, tighter shots of a full-looking crowd, which looked far better on TV by then. There was commentary on the night from Jeremy Borash and Disco Inferno and Mark Madden. And it was over the loudspeakers. And I think that we talked about this on the podcast, the concept of commentary over the loudspeakers. Mm. I find it obnoxious. I find it obnoxious to do. I kind of find it difficult when I'm doing commentary, and I've done commentary in some venues which haven't drawn well, and the wrestlers can hear the commentary and they react to it. I'm like, shut up. This is over the top of, not included.
That happened when UFC during the pandemic, they had Snoop Dogg do like Snoop Dogg's thoughts at ringside and Snoop Dogg just has balls just talking shite and the fighters are going, no, like, that's all right, it's an optional extra. I can just hear him.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg shitting on me. I don't want to hear that. It's like, yeah, I can see how that'd be. Never mind for the fans, how incredibly off-putting it would be for the wrestlers.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. Like, if you're going to do if you insist on being a promotion that does commentary over the loudspeakers, right, do very minimal commentary. Like, keep it dead simple.
You don't need to keep on saying it's obnoxious. Mark Madden is commentating.
We already know this, Tom.
Grass is green.
But I think even the best commentators over a loudspeaker would be obnoxious. Even the best in the world would be. Like, I keep it to, like, 5 or 6 words. Every 10-minute match. Keep it dead simple. Anyway.
Good.
The opening match saw Nova win an Elimination Cruiserweight match over Christopher Daniels, Low-Ki, Tony Marmaluke, Shark Boy, and AJ Styles. Like, it's fucking Styles in the opening.
Tony Marmaluke's nose got bust open, right?
It did indeed, yeah. But that wasn't even the funniest part of the match. Because the commentators were mic'd, also the referee's mic was being picked up as well. And after Sharkboy got eliminated, everyone in the building could hear the referee saying, okay, AJ, you're next. Great. Wrestling.
But how does...
I presume there must have just been... I can only assume that the ref was talking loudly and maybe had something on so he could communicate with backstage.
Oh, right, he's wired up. Right.
That may have been picked up that way over the speakers. That can be, yeah. So I think they sorted that out dead quick. All the refs stopped talking. Bret Hart came out for a chat next.
Yay.
Looking like Bret Hart, you know, jean shorts, leather jacket.
Oh, no.
Just like homeless Bret Hart look at his finest. He just talked, says the Wrestling Observer. He said WWE was a small...
No moonsaults from Bret tonight.
I was here for the Bret moonsaults. He talked about how WWE was a small organization and there weren't many of them left. He mentioned that Randy Savage, who was meant to be in the main event, is not here tonight.
They sent Bret to do that?
Yeah. Bless him. And it was not only was it Bret's job to announce that Randy Savage wasn't there, it was Bret's job to announce that Brian Christopher was the replacement.
God, that's right.
But don't worry, Bret pulled it round by talking about how America got Osama bin Laden. I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
So he ended it going, yeah, it's all right. They got bin Laden.
This is like someone saying, well, we recorded your bad dream you had 20 years ago, and here's the transcription.
I do like that Bret Hart has been paid by WWE just to go, just go out there and just chat about whatever.
So Randy Savage couldn't make it here tonight, but don't worry, folks. Someone else is going to challenge Jeff Jarrett for the WWE The World Heavyweight, the title.
The title.
Osama bin Laden.
I think that would have got a better reaction.
Yay!
Laden.
People are like, oh, we don't like... Wait, he's wrestling Jarrett. You know what? It's not that bad. That's it. This is the Jeff
You
Jarrett.
All come out here and cheer bin Laden.
Shut up, Osama bin Slapnuts. That's what they needed to do. Jeff Jarrett, have him join Al-Qaeda. That would have fucking ended the organization in a month.
He's just trying to join every faction going, isn't he, Jeff? God love him. Love you, Jeff, my mate, Jeff. Alan Funk beats Reno.
Oh, yeah.
What a way to follow up a Bret Hart talk about catching bin Laden. Alan Funk came out as the Funker.
That's right.
He was doing the Hulkster routine that Mark Madden just shat on commentary over the live mic.
Did he? Yeah, no, okay, all right, Madden gets one.
Chronic beat the Navajo Warrior and the Ghost Walker in about 5 minutes in a very shit match.
I thought those were really cool names. I saw them. It's just, oh, just Native Americans.
Basically, yeah. Forget the Nitro Girls math. We've got the Starettes. Mm-hmm.
No, they're called Opal Fruits.
Dave... I love a dance troupe called the Opal Fruits. In suits. Dave Meltzer, the Observer, describes them as low-rent Nitro girls from one of the local strip clubs that was so bad that Mark Madden joked that Kimberly Page spent 15 seconds choreographing their routine. Madden couldn't give a single fuck tonight.
Okay. This might be his WrestleMania X7 at this point. Because he gets one line, I still remember this day. I'll bring it up if he gets brought up on commentary. Oh.
It always throws me off when I see Mark Madden on Twitter because he's got the Liverpool crest as his profile picture. I'm like, is that the right Mark Madden? Oh, it is the right Mark Madden. He's just a Liverpool fan. Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Puppet the Psycho Dwarf beats T.O. the Midget from Chicago in a hardcore match. However, they were there basically to be lobbed around by Scott Steiner. He gave Puppet a belly-to-belly suplex and put T.O. over his head and threw him into the crowd. At one point, he throws it to a very special guest in the crowd, Hiroyoshi Tenzan.
Yeah.
Who is there... A Japanese wrestling legend, he's there all night, not a single fucker acknowledges he's there. Like, what's the point?
He took some photos because they showed up in Power Slam, and he's like, okay, let's go anywhere? No. I think maybe Tenzin had got to wrestle the Steiner Brothers like in New Japan later on. But yeah, he's there. If you look and know who he is, you're like, yeah, he's quite clearly there. And
the fact that Steiner's then like, hey, there's somebody ringside tonight who I think I should have a fight with. And everyone goes, oh, Tenzan. Disco Inferno. Because earlier in the night...
The Funkster, I've always hated you.
Disco Inferno earlier in the night threw down an open challenge to anybody who wanted to fight. So Scott Steiner comes out and goes, I'm accepting your open challenge. To which Disco goes, oh no, it's not on anymore. Cancelled. Either way, Steiner then batters Disco in about 2 minutes. Beats him with a belly-to-belly off the ropes. Dave Meltzer says, luckily for Scott, probably nobody from the WWF was watching because this performance didn't answer any questions.
Yeah, he's still dealing with drop foot.
Yes, he is.
How the fuck are we saying?
He dropped Disco by the looks of it.
He dropped Disco on his foot.
We're five matches into the card and people are starting to leave. They're just like, fuck this.
Oh, I can confirm. Later on this year, they would have Team 2000, Tenzin and Chono, defeat the Steiner Brothers. That was it.
So there, so
is that even televised?
I bet it wasn't. It's such a good match. So I bet it wasn't televised.
It's got star ratings, yeah, must have been. All right, yeah. Okay. Aha!
Eddie Guerrero turns up. He wins the WWA International Cruiserweight title in a three-way over Psicosis and Juventud Guerrero. Dave in The Observer rightly says, if Savage can't make it, why not have done Jeff Jarrett versus Eddie Guerrero in the main event? As opposed to Brian Christopher.
No, silly, because they're doing it. Brett did the whole thing about the second generation wrestlers leading the thing in the business. And of course, the Guerrero family is not well known.
Yeah, the unknown Guerrero family. As Guerrero then does a heel interview, he talks about talking about his personal issues. I've come back from drug addiction. You bastards! Like, how did you make that heel? But don't worry.
I must have been on drugs to accept a booking for the WWA at the Aladdin Theatre.
That would do it, actually. Do you know who interrupts his tirade about his personal issues?
Jafar.
Close. Jerry Lynn. 2 days before Jerry Lynn had left the WWF. He's gone, by the way. Released from his WWF deal. Oh. And here he is in WWA. No more Jerry Lynn in WWF. Jerry Lynn was suited up and ran down Eddie Guerrero, I think verbally rather than with a car. But at this point, I would have been shocked. Guerrero then punches Jerry Lynn in the face and they end up into a brawl that ends with Guerrero shoulder-breaking Jerry Lynn in the ring and then suplexing him on the floor. This was the best action on the entire show.
Nice.
Nice. Devon Storm beats Sabu after 20 fucking minutes.
Yes.
What, this match seems to ring true to you.
They had a few matches.
Yeah.
And Devon Storm won?
He did.
Wow.
It ends with a clumsy chair shot from Bill Alfonso. Storm then pinning him with a rolling reverse cradle. After the match, Sabu threw a chair at Storm and then beat him with some other chairs. Alfonso then held Storm down. And you can imagine how beaten up Storm must have been for Fonzie to keep him motionless. Sabu then came off a scaffolding where the big screen was about 8 feet high. Went through a table on Storm. 2.25 stars.
Roman grabs all that action is very nonchalant. He gives it a low review.
I love it when he does that. Larry Zbyszko comes out. You remember this bit?
No.
So Larry Zbyszko comes out unannounced.
I think this was cut out from the commercial releases.
Ah.
Go on. I've heard about this, actually.
He kicks off at the WWF, mainly yes. Chris Jericho and yes. Vince McMahon. Chris Jericho for stealing his ring name. He talks about his reason for his hatred of Vince McMahon and then never once gives any indication of what it was. He then challenges Vince McMahon to a match on neutral grounds, which he said would be the WWA ring. The company I work for currently is the neutral ground. Fuck off. In 2002, Larry Zbyszko's going, hey, Vince, come and have a fight in the WWA. Oh. As if Vince, for even a fleeting second, would consider it. Fucking carny shite.
Yeah, for people who don't know, Larry was not annoyed that the WWE, was using the term the living legend for Jericho. And I think he tried to put in a T-shirt and Zbyszko went, no, that's my name. That's my nickname that I stole from Bruno.
I stole that. You can't steal that. Rick Steiner and Ernest Miller beat Lenny and Lodi in less than a minute. I believe that the show was overrunning, so they had to just quickly get this one fucking done.
Thanks, Larry.
Nothing done. Cheers,
this is
Larry.
The cat and the dog face gremlin. There's some...
Yeah, the cat and the dog. Could have had some fun with that.
Versus the gaze.
The gaze.
The never-ending struggle.
The duality of man. Main event comes, and it's Jeff Jarrett beating Brian Christopher to retain his WWA title in 13 minutes. Crowd not into this. Reasonably into by the end, but really, nah, this wasn't the main event of the show. And that's WWA Revolution. Wow, what a shame for all involved that it happens.
Sounds revolting.
It does sound like, less of a revolution, but certainly revolting. Well done, lads. 10 on 10 from us. WWE's third quarter investment conference took place this week as well. Whilst Mania has made big strides, they've sold 58,000 tickets for the Sky Dome, breaking an all-time record set for the previous Mania at the Astrodome. So that's all good. But revenue is down year on year. The question and answer segment is usually the most interesting part. Now, there's couple of questions that come through this, which asks more about the investors on the call than the actual company. There's a question from one investor that says, since the WWF and Playboy have the same demographic, maybe you two should partner up for a 24-hour wrestling/soft porn channel. Linda McMahon, presiding on the call, said that probably won't happen. The state of these fucking... Have you thought about doing like a soft porn channel that they can watch all the time?
Damn, it's not like today's press conferences, is it?
No, Jack Atkins going, congratulations, Orange Cassidy, on your half or victory.
Oh, that one blokey.
Do you have any issues with people taking wrestling seriously? Because I do. I take wrestling seriously.
Fucking hell. Which one's that?
That was one of the WWE ones.
Oh,
I remember the fucking Clash the Castle.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think I was standing up, I was like, ah! I laughed and cried at the same time.
I think it was at Money in the Bank where some bloke at Astro Blades, would you reckon the new West Ham signing? Fuck off, mate.
Okay, that was funny.
It was
Mark Madden.
It was Mark Madden.
Oh, I forgot. So during Puppet versus Tio, who had a lot of matches during this period, they were very popular. Mark Madden over the thing said, if one of these dudes dies and we need to cremate the body, I've got a big lighter in my pocket. Big pop from the crowd as well. Like, all right.
See, that's it. The wrestlers, bless them, having a match. And there's just Mark Madden going, lol, short. Put me right off. Back to the Q&A from the investor call. One person was asked, other than increased revenue, has the purchase of WCW benefited the company in any way? Linda McMahon said, Basically, the tape library. And Dave going, well, they've not done anything with it so far, so I don't know what they'll do. And then the network is born many years later. And then one investor called just to congratulate Linda on becoming a grandmother. She then had to explain that Stephanie being pregnant was a storyline and a ruse that Steph was playing on Triple H. Fucking hell. State of your investors, lads.
That's fucking great.
I can't believe that he lost
Linda.
That
money. Congratulations.
I love that it's Alvarez. I hear you're going to be a grandmother.
A grandmother.
You're going to be a granny like granny.
Hey.
That's all the news that is the news. Over to Matthew Gregg, who will now talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown.
Oh, another fulfilling slice of wrestling pie to get through the hungry period of life.
My slice is filled.
It's another live feed.
Yay!
With, strangely, The Fink doing the announcing/shilling for all this, as opposed to Chimmel, so that's nice.
Mm.
In a dark match, Spike Dudley pinned Fanaki in 5 minutes, the Dudley Dog. Crowd cheers Spike, who has now lost Molly Holly and Taz in the space of a year. It's not them, it's ye. Sunday Night Heat starts off. Coachman comes out for a Kid Rock song I don't recognize. It's about as 2002 as you can get. Then Taz, with his Cypress Hill theme, sits down with Coach and he tells them the lads are listening backstage and said Coach got, quote, the souvenir pop, i.e. he got the same reaction he came out as when Chimelo Fink says you can buy these Steve Austin bobbleheads today. i.e. no pop whatsoever. RVD pinned Lance Storm at 6 minutes 42 with the 5-star frog splash. Nice match here with no commentary as their stuff is for the international broadcast. And I don't know why it never shows up here. I think the commentators show up and appear so they can say they're live. But because it goes out 3 days later, it's all done in post in case something happens.
Fair enough.
Which has happened before. We only hear them during the breaks. Edge defeats Mr. Perfect via DQ at 3 minutes 53 when Perfect brought a steel chair into the ring. This match was deemed good enough for Edge's DVD, A Decade of Decadence. So you know they were scraping the barrel at that point. Henning looked like 2002 Kurt Henning. Fink hypes up the horrible Steve Austin plush bear. And he then reads the back of the Hardy's shirt because it's all like blurry and stuff like that because the Hardy's in leader. So it says 3 Extreme. But it just says E Extreme.
Oh.
Taz and Coach laugh at him. Test pins the Hurricane at 4 minutes 47 with the roll of the dice. It's the new test. Hurricane takes his finisher beautifully, so cheers, pal. Taz sees a woman in the front row with hair like Bo Derek, then gets confused as to why she's taking a photo of the Fink. Oh, then Fink says it's the debut of the new Sunday Night Heat intro, just in time for that MTV relaunch. As a ton of pyro goes off and everyone cheers, as Rikishi pins Perry Saturn at 4 minutes 18 with the bonsai drop. 1 month left for Perry, who is now wearing generic black short shorts. We get a trailer for the Scorpion King as the sets are changed. Lily sings the anthem, but she should have done some cross promotion and belt out some Godsmack to help out sales the Stalking King.
Hear the saying, I stand alone.
Yeah, and our national anthem, I stand alone by the Scorpion King. We are at Boston MA, the Fleet Center. We are apparently sold out, so that's nice. So I put here, woody wee, woody woo, woody woo, we're sold out. Oh, never do that again.
Tough crowd. Is this on? Testing 1, 2.
Our main event is Jericho and Angle versus Triple H and Cripple Kane.
Oh, Cripple Kane!
Ow.
Oh!
Angle was mean to me last week.
The Dudley Boys.
Prick.
And WWF Women's Champion Jazz defeat leader Matt and Jeff Hardy. Bubba comes out and tries to announce that because Stacy Keibler has injured herself doing a particularly strenuous photo shoot, she can't be in this match. And instead, Jazz is a substitute, which fair enough. However, that's what happens on the proper version.
If you're watching on the network, this all looks fine, but the trained ears amongst you will have noticed that Bubba's tone doesn't quite match, which is something that I am unfortunately cursed with, that I know when something's pre-recorded because you can tell that they're not fighting against the sound of the crowd. The Thunderdome era was horrible for that. So you could tell something wasn't quite right. And as Matthew observed watching the live feed version, something did go awry here.
Yeah, so Bubba tries talking the mic, but it doesn't work. And he keeps on yelling, give me a mic that works. Give me a mic that works. And so the camera just looks at Stacey Keibler and anybody else who isn't Bubba. As you can hear Bubba yelling, where my mic? Where? Till eventually they just do it for like 10 seconds and go, ah, this is getting awkward now. Just send Jazz out.
They should not have another mic.
Send out Jazz.
They should have another mic for him.
Yeah, this is going to do it. So Jazz comes out and they're like, oh, whatever, we'll do it in post. Anyway, we're told Jazz destroyed Molly on Raw and then applied an STF afterwards. Lola dislikes Jazz because she interrupted a wet T-shirt contest or something. That's just Lola's commentary in a nutshell during this point, isn't it, Tom?
Jazz also beat up Molly on Raw, and the way they described it was really weird. It's like, yeah, Jazz attacked Molly with an STF and a DDT. Just sounds like they had a wrestling match.
Yeah, right.
So viciously attacked with wrestling moves.
She gave her a move and then another move. And then she hooked her leg. What a bitch.
The women's division isn't ready for this sort of thing. Stop having wrestling matches.
Lita gets attacked by Bubba, so Jeff makes the tag to come in and take more offense. Wow, well done, hero. Then we get the same old match these lot have had for years now. Jesus. Ending when Lita does the wazza to Bubba's balls. Lita saves Matt from Jazz. Yes, really. And Jazz gets an angle kick out, which... Angle kick out. Oh, I see. A Kurt Angle kick out at 3, which is what I mean. Which annoys the crowd, who thought that was it. But Stacy runs in and lands her long-ass leg kick to set up Jazz's Jazz Stinger finisher. As the commentators explain that Stacy had an ankle injury and couldn't wrestle. Ah, thanks, lads.
Well, that's it, because you can tell because she's got bandaging around her foot.
Yeah.
That's the giveaway. That
so
she's
she can't
injured.
Wrestle. I don't know what the excuse is the rest of the time. What do you think of this match, Tom?
Do you know what? As you said, like, it's a standard, very good Hardy's Dudley showdown. I like the use of Jazz here.
Mm.
I thought it was good. Obviously, you know, taking Stacey out of the match and replacing with Jazz upgraded the match. And that's just the fact that Jazz is a better wrestler than Stacey. It just is the case. I like how Jazz's finisher is a Neil Diamond pun.
Ah.
Thank you very much in 2002.
She shines.
Yeah. And hello, my friend. Hello. Love on the rocks. Jazz tried to suplex Matt Hardy, which I thought, I'm sad that she didn't get to do it. I'd have had Jazz suplex Matt Hardy there. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But we didn't get it. Fine opener. Fine opener with the same group of people that always just have fine openers.
Lovely jubbly. Then Undertaker is shown watching and re-watching his attack on Raw. Flair shows up and calls him a bastard. Undertaker wants to...
You bastard!
Undertaker wants a response for WrestleMania match. Flair switches off the TV and Undertaker says, hey, I was watching that.
I'm walking here.
Flair ejects the tape and then launches it off the wall and says, Undertaker, he'll get his answer tonight. Undertaker ends it by laughing.
I put, hey, this was good.
I enjoyed it. Taker, like lackadaisical, watching himself beat up on. Probably had his hand down his trousers for part of this before Flair came in. And, oh, Flair ejecting the tape and then hoying it against the wall. You can't do that with an MP4. You know, I like that. I fucking smashed it. I liked it. Flair looked great here. Taker was fun. This was a good bit.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Well done.
Liked it a lot.
Then Cole says during the break, that was a great segment. And I thought, oh, that's nice. He's giving a compliment. He goes, yeah, we had no lights, no monitors. We didn't see any of it or hear any of it.
Oh, he's just being a dick.
Yeah, then there's the re-records because his mic died. We then get told, Maven won tough enough, so you too could enter the next season and become a WWE superstar. Yeah, that's the right message. All the kids want to be Maven. And here's Crippled Austin, Shades of 1997. It's a bit harsh, that, Jesus. Because Scott Hall busted a cinder block over him. Well, they did it on his left leg on Raw, but his right leg is taped.
They yes! did.
And I put, what? His left leg. What? His right leg. What? His left head. What?
No, what's happened is, Maff, he put so much pressure on his other leg because his one leg was hurt that he's injured the other leg. Yes.
The pain travels.
Yeah. And then he fell out. And then he fell on the stairs and broke his other leg. He should have come out with both taped, just to be sure.
Ow, 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 ow.
Walking like he's fucking shat his pants.
And then Kane go, hey, that's my gimmick.
Why is everybody hurt?
Stop copying me. I'm crippled, Kane. Yeah.
It's good to show a clip of Maven looking like hot shit, and then there's Austin. Oh, wow. Oh, me back, me neck, me everything. The end of your interrupt before Austin can say out. And I've put, oh no, is it this segment? I do like here, it's a little bit of that they've started doing. The NWO make their entrance. No, we'll load it. Goes to black and white. And then they're like, it goes back to reality, I guess. It just bows out back to colour.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. For the Tony Storm. Hogan points out Austin's right knee is damaged. Do you ever get one of those, like the teddies they had in 98? Where, oh, you're hitting my left leg.
Yeah.
Remember that? We had DDP and we beat the fuck out of them.
Ah, you're hitting my bollocks. My bollocks. My
Yo, bollocks. Bozo, get off my head. I love that DDP. I had to resist the urge to punch him in real life when I saw him and he was in War Girl those years ago.
Have you ever been to Build-A-Bear?
No.
Hang on. When did you see DDP?
When he came to Walken, like 2017.
DDP?
Yeah.
Came to Walker.
Sure, you were there. Were you not?
No, I don't think I really
you remember this.
No, I don't think I knew you that well. In
prestigious 86 suite.
I don't think I knew that. What was he doing there?
I think that's what people were thinking.
Fuck, was that a wrestling show there with DDP
no,
on?
It was a talk about yoga and Q&A and stuff like that. Dude, it was the first time me going, and I got a taxi there, and this guy was like, "Where are you off to, mate?" Because I'm going to this event. And he goes, "Down that street." I went, "Yeah." He goes, "I don't think there's any venues there." And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'm a taxi driver. I've been doing this circuit for years and all this stuff." And then we drove past. They went, "Oh, there it is."
Oh, fuck it out. Oh, DDP, man. Who booked like, that?
Is that just a big house? Oh, no, that's the venue. Yeah, well, people would do that. Like, remember in Chicago, like, we're doing Newcastle upon Tyne. We've seen the prices. We are now doing South Shields.
That was North Shields, wasn't it?
Whatever.
Because they kept
calling Iran, Iraq. So, what's the difference?
Because I remember in the video, they kept calling it the North Shields.
They had Brett booked.
They did the North Shields.
I hear Osama bin Laden also hates the North Shields.
Hey, who's from South Shields? Boo! Yeah, they're shit, aren't they? Hey, I've won the locals over.
Only kidding.
Who's from Welker? So I didn't know. So you went and met DDP?
Walker, that thing that Steve Austin can't do.
You went and met DDP?
Yeah, he was very nice.
Yeah? Did you learn about yoga? And is it
Yoko?
Yoga.
You didn't say
I said yoga.
Yeah. I found the Beatles.
Then why was he talking about yoga? Then why was he talking about yoga?
Hey. My mate Tom wanted me to ask you, what do you think about the Beatles? Oh, thanks, Bozo.
Did you ask him if I punch you on the left arm? Do you go, ow, you hurt my left arm? Have you ever been to Build-A-Bear?
Oh, that's how this started. No, yeah. I haven't.
I went last year, or a year before, got presents from my little niece, and I got her a Paddington Bear, and I've got it so when you press the button, he goes, "Hello, I'm Paddington Bear." kills me every time I go around.
Hello, I'm Paddington Bear.
The dying best 30 quid I've ever spent.
I am Paddington Bear.
Oh, it's great, though.
My brother's playing to my brother who's creasing. Like, oh, he just, every time God. He feels sad, he just squeezes up. I'm Paddington Bear. So I'd spot an impression of Paddington Bear.
Hello, I'm Paddington Bear.
Oh, I've not built a bear, but I've taken apart a twink.
What a roller coaster this podcast
Hogan
is this
points
week.
Out Austin's right.
Oh, yeah, SmackDown.
That's how we got here.
Forgot about that.
There's noticeable cheers from the crowd because it's Hulk bloody Hogan. And Hulk says, looks like the Gimp is in checkmate. All right. Yes, he does. So Hogan is going to head to the back to film his own epic saga to deal with The Rock. Shades of 03, I guess. So Hulk calls Austin a beer-drinking redneck. And they show the clip of his left leg getting injured. Austin threatens to walk up the ramp and get them both. I think he's going to do more damage to Austin than them. Hall and Nash laugh badly at badly walking Steve. So Austin heads back down the ramp, but then Steve pulls something out and Nash yells, he's got a gun! It's not a gun. It's a net gun. And it doesn't fire.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah, before so you edit the fuck out of this, for the
if you watch this on the network, it actually looks pretty cool. Where Austin just turns around, blasts a net gun, and Kevin Nash goes down like a wounded animal, surrounded by the net gun. Like it looked, it's tied it up. It looks great, but to get the full joy out of this segment, you have to watch and hear how it went down in front of the live crowd.
Yeah. So wobbly Steve Austin stumbles with the net gun. I guess that's a technical term. Don't come at me.
Went to school with a coat called a net gun.
Ah, it's a gun. And it goes like this. And then nothing comes out. We've all been there. Comrade Thompson would play an advert right now. And so they're like, oh no, what's happening? And Steve Austin in the back, I was like, gets out the replacement net gun. And that one does fire. Takes out Nash. In Venice, it does look cool when Nash is in there, but Hall's just like, uh-oh. Like, wow, look, a plane! So one-legged Steve gets up there. Hall helps by then brawling with Austin and then tripping over the net gun on the floor that Steve dropped and falling on his ass before both of them awkwardly hobble away as Austin looks miserable. Not just put this fucking suck. And then Lawler goes to the mini break and Lawler says, well, we won't be showing any of that.
What was meant to be, I think, what's turned out on the network, like quite an interesting bit of telly, to watch the live feed version, it's like chucking out of time at the shittest pub you've ever known. It's just a fucking mess. Austin falls over. Scott Hall falls over. I admire the gumption and the ingenuity of WWF having a second net gun on standby just in case the first doesn't work. And that's what that is genuinely. That's the sort of shit that separates WWE from everyone else. They'd have a second. AEW would not have had a second net gun ready. WWE had a second net gun ready just in case. Fair fucks to them.
You know, if this had happened on Nitro in 2000, WWE would still be showing clips of it to this day. So saying.
But because because history's written by the winners, we've never seen this again until now.
Yeah, this is the crap NWO that I remember in 02.
It does look far better on SmackDown than it does on the live feed.
I don't even think it looks that good.
I don't think it looks
too bad.
It's
a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Net gun.
A net gun? What are you doing here?
Austin's like, I don't want to look weak. All right. What will you do? Can I kill both of them on SmackDown? No, we need them for WrestleMania. Do you really? You don't need Hall. Well, you know, all right.
This has been such an interesting bit of creative for Steve Austin versus the NWO, where we've seen Steve Austin kidnap Scott Hall and wheel him around a venue. We've seen a cinder block broken on Austin's wrong leg, and now a net gun is catching Kevin Nash. Where do you go from here? I hope he puts a bear trap out next week.
Yeah. Birdseed. Oh, boy. Nash, I love birdseed.
Fucking a string of birdseed to a fucking Acme
NWO catcher. Fucking Austin running away with the NWO paints a tunnel into a wall.
This is a big red toothpick.
Oh, that's no toothpick. That's a TNT stick.
Goggle.
as he's chewing on it, like it's sparkling.
Hey, no.
I've changed my mind. This is the best. Steve Austin has, you know how when you're going hunting for ducks, you've got one of those
quackers.
They go, yeah. He's got one of those that goes, hey yo, hey yo. Kevin Nash, oh, Scott Hall must be over there.
Brother.
Oh, Hogan's with him too. Oh my god, what am I doing over there?
Bedington.
Oh, my favourite bear is also with Bedington.
I know it's him because he's badly saying his name.
I love buying presents that my mum and dad then look at me and go, you're a prat, you are. I'm like, yeah.
I'm Paddington Bear.
If you thought these jokes were bad, Tobacco is Wacko sponsors, are you ready? Rob Van Dam winning on Raw.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh, but someone's taking the piss. Not RVD's piss, that's for sure.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And here we go. Oh, thank God, the show is saved. The Big Show versus IC champion William Regal in a non-title match. You may know this one.
Mm-hmm.
Regal waves at Lawler. Cole is mad. Not as mad as Hungry Show, who does not appreciate Regal's comments he made about him. Show batters Show. What? No, Matthew. Show batters Regal. There we go. As Cole says, he's so mad he could bench press a Volkswagen. Wow, that's pretty mad.
You can tell they're turning a corner on Big Show because I think 6 months ago they've gone, he's so mad he could eat 10 burgers.
New mad fat Show annihilates Regal as Lawler says there's no excuse to Austin firing a gun at people and says Lawler and Cole could be next. Regal gets the nooks and twats Show, who's then KO'd. But he's so KO'd he bounces off the ropes and splats Regal for the 1-2-3. As Willie does the arm swelling, oh no! As he realizes what's happening is a big fat Show, like, just plummets towards him.
We talk about how this show is like Acme, like the NWO Steve Austin thing.
100% Acme.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's all Regal's idea.
Yeah, Regal keeps on trying to remove the KO'd Show, but he ain't moving. This is one of my favorite match finishes ever.
It's fantastic. And Regal talks.
Please go and check this out. Regal Big Show. It's going to be a GIF, a video, or whatever, a clip.
He talked about it on his podcast, did Regal? Yeah. Somewhere in amongst the left turns and the scenic routes, he talked about this. And it was just, he said, like, it was just the idea that he had to have Big Show slowly fall on him and just go and just act like a monolith is about to drop on him. Oh, it's
like it Hook is. At the end of Hook.
Yeah, it fucking is. It's the Crocodile Tower. No, it's fucking fantastic. It is. And I completely agree with Math. It is possibly one of the best endings to SmackDown.
Wow, and just buried here amongst this weirdness, because the next segment is Booker T is waiting to hear back from the Japanese hair people.
And he says, he's practicing his advert. Yo, Japanese people, what's the deal with your nasty ass hair? Just because you know kung fu doesn't mean you know shampoo. We then turn the camera to Tajiri with posh director hat, who says, that's offensive. Booker says, hey, I wrote that myself. And Tajiri says, why are you, Booker T, insulting Japanese hair when his hair looks like, and I'm going to just put here, like, make sure you emphasize Tajiri saying this, Matthew, buckwheat on crack. I'm not touching that one.
No.
Yeah, anyway.
Let's leave that. Let's
crowd
leave
likes
that
it. Oh, that wacky racist Tajiri.
The way out, wacky racist.
Hey. And Jericho cleans his title belt.
Oh, and before you get into that, so begins the WrestleMania story arc for Booker T involving shampoo, which we will touch on again later. And I'll tell you the hilarious way that this legitimately pays off. But we'll do it before we get to Mania.
Well, yeah, stands head and shoulders above the rest of
the card. He's done him! He's done him!
I'm getting the chokes in before Tom gets a chance. Then we cut to Chris Jericho cleaning his title belt and Stephanie telling him that he should be having someone else do it. This is the new tag team, Steph and Jericho. Jericho reminds her he beat up Kurt Angle on Raw. And Steph's like, you're teaming up with him tonight, so what? Steph tells the Uwu champ, you better have bought her the proper lotion.
No.
And Jericho goes, of course I have, here it is. But it's the wrong type of lotion, you idiot. And Steph gets mad, and she makes the WrestleMania main eventer go and get the proper stuff. Jericho gets ready to threaten her, then thinks about it and goes out. Lola asks Cole if this is what happened to Enron.
Yes, they didn't buy the right hand lotion.
And I put, he's good when he's not around women. In brackets, Lola, Jericho. The Uwu champion, Tom.
So it begins. Now, Jericho's very much, more than I realise, Jericho's leaning into this, like, properly. Like, he got straight, like, face-to-face with Steph, like, he was going to do. He's like, do you know what I think? I think you're right. I'll go and get it. Like, so I, weirdly for that reason, I don't hate it as much, because I think Jericho's very aware of what he is here, and it is just a bitch of a champion. I'm just sad that he is a bitch of a champion. If he could have been a mid-card, you know, this would have been a really great spot for, like, a mid-card heel to be, like, Steph's bitch.
If Maven was Uwu champ, I wouldn't
but
mind
not,
as
yeah,
much.
But not even, like, an Uwu champ, like, to have somebody in that, like, have, like, Christian. This would have been a great spot for Christian to be, like, Steph's lackey. That would have been a really nice, and he would have had some fun with that and done something with it. But I think it's the fact that I'm not against the idea of Steph having a wrestler that runs around and does all the remedial work for her. I'm just sad that it's a guy who is headlining WrestleMania in 3 weeks' time. That's where the problem has always been. You know? That's where the problem's always been.
Yeah, I hate these.
Yeah.
This is the period of wrestling where I'm like, just not vibing with this like I used to. And this is one of the reasons I don't want to see Jericho as the World Heavyweight Uwu champ.
Getting Stephanie's lotion. No.
Anyway, Cole and Lawler practice their hype for Drowning Pool's official theme for WrestleMania X8. Tearaway. I thought that's the WrestleMania theme. I have no memory of this song, and I've seen WrestleMania X8 like 3 times.
I'm tearing away.
Nah.
These things are falling. Good. I can't seem to make them stay.
I don't
you
care about it.
Run away. Faster and faster, you can't seem to get away. And then, as you rightly went, I don't care about anyone else for me. It goes into that.
I don't care about anyone. I thought you were legitimately doing Tear Away, those words to other Drowning Pool songs.
No, that is one Drowning Pool song.
Tear Away. Two, tear away. Three, like, oh. Look at me. You can see, understand, I'm going to tear away.
Sadly, no, this isn't the Andrew WK album.
All three of their songs.
This is Andrew WK's seminal album, I Get Wet.
Oh, that's mean.
No. I say that with love. I fucking truly love that album because Andrew WK knows exactly what sound people like, which is boom, bam, 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 ba, 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 ba. And he goes, here is it 11 times with slightly different words. Yeah. Fucking yes, Andrew WK.
Yes.
I loved him for that.
If the lads from Home Alone were taken out, not by a falling tool chest, but by a piano going down the stairs, it would sound something like an 100-degree
Fucking great. Love it.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on WrestleMania theme songs in the modern era? Because they've leaned into The Weeknd over the past few years. That's kind of become, they've become WWE's favorite band in the last few WrestleManias by using different but not really appropriate Weeknd songs.
You know what? Given the fact that these events are mega events and they last the weekend, I don't mind them per se because they're not, what's the word? They're not that heavy. They're not that out there. So they're quite mundane and
they're not
sedated.
Divisive. They're quite popular.
No, I just mean how the song sounds. Like, they're not that heavy or like involving, they're quite ignorable. Seeing as you're going to be listening to them a lot, I'm all right for that.
Yeah.
Because that's either be that or really poppy and catchy like Red Light, Green Light. Because there's no fucking way you could be listening to Tear Away or fucking Saliva or fucking Nickelback or Huber Stank, whatever, I'm just running out of bands now. Raging the Speed Horn.
If you can't,
all the
if
rest,
you,
like 19 times. No.
If you can't, you can't say Limp Bizkit My Way. But what's your favourite Mania theme? But you can't say Limp Bizkit My Way.
Big time.
Oh, we're all partners in crime. Big time. A similar note, I'd vote for the Peter Gabriel Big Time that they used the year before. I'm on my way. I'm making it. I like them using Peter Gabriel. That was nice. Nice little change of pace.
You should have kept on doing it.
Peter Gabriel.
The Weeknd with their song Big Time.
I just kept using Big Time over and over again. That'd have been fun. I do like the fact that The Weeknd for years became WrestleMania theme songs because it meant that I was on BBC Radio on WrestleMania weekend playing the soundtrack to WrestleMania that weekend. So it was just like people who would watch us do live reactions to WrestleMania then put BBC Newcastle on and we'd go like, oh, Tom's playing the Mania theme. Fucking get it. Like, yeah, damn right I am.
It's been a big time. Here comes Maven.
Hey!
His hardcore title that he beat The Undertaker for. And he is defending it against Goldust. Oh, no. Cole hypes up Goldust as bizarre, which he must be confusing for bored. Goldust immediately lands the butt, then lands the bin lid. Maven gets slingshotted into a corner bin, then Goldust holds on and lets him suck into his knees before following with a forward suplex. Goldust is working harder than Maven did with RVD. Bloody hell. That's horribly typed up. Goldust working harder than RVD did with Maven. That's way better. Way better, Matthew.
Better.
Goldust takes forever to use a fire extinguisher. So Maven, on the floor, sneakily presses the button, or pulls the thing, whatever, and sends it spraying into Goldust, with Maven rolling Goldust up for the win. Nothing ass match with a nice creative finish. Crowd pops for Maven winning, but not Maven's entrance. Huh. Fair enough. And afterwards, Undertaker rolls out on his mobility scooter to beat up Maven some more, but Al Snow pushes Undertaker away and saves his lad. And it's a match, with the referee inexplicably ringing the bell with Undertaker on the outside, but whatever.
Oh. Was it more they were ringing the bell to go, come on, everybody, calm down?
No, because then the referee rings it for real, because remembered how wrestling works. So does Al, as he gets clotheslined in the corner. Undertaker gets a chair, but spends too long yelling at someone for not supporting the cops. So Al gets the chair and absolutely caved Undertaker's skull in before pinning him clean with a snowplow. Yeah, right. Who are you kidding? Come on.
To be fair, Al got some shit in on Taker here. I was fucking buzzing.
He did before choked him on the outside. And then Ric Flair with a lead pipe from Undertaker's... What have I typed here? Undertaker's scooter and co. Hello.
Mate.
To smash Undertaker daft with it.
Call this what it is. Ric Flair kidnaps Pipey.
Oh my God.
Ric Flair
Pipey
fucking
again.
Kidnaps Pipey.
Her
no, and... Undertaker, I'm not doing this. I can't control this.
Her and Lacey Onions, whatever the fuck her name was.
Shirley Onions.
Whatever, she's not real.
Shirley Onions.
She needs a pipe.
My psycho. Shirley Onions, my psychiatrist keeps saying, is not real. Can you see Shirley? Is Shirley Onions in the room with us now, Tom? No, but Pipey is.
And then to follow Pipey, Flair gets a mighty promo
Staying off, Undertaker touches one of his mates again. He doesn't care if it's at home or at church. Flair will come for him because Flair is still the dirtiest player in the game. And before we go to break, we get a lovely shot of Undertaker grinning despite being in pain. What a nice little bit of segment.
This was fucking brilliant. I loved this. Flair bombing to the ring, kidnapping Pipey, battering Taker, and then doing the least obvious wrestling thing and going, "You want an answer to your challenge for WrestleMania? No! I'm not going to fight you. If you fucking touch my mates again, I'll batter you." And chucks them. And that's why Taker's smiling. Because he's like, "Oh, okay, I get to up the ante now. Bring it on." And he really fucking does. I loved it. I thought this is one of, again, Flair's just had these flashes of brilliance. Since, like, now he's getting a bit more into the mix as a character on the wrestling as opposed to the boss. Like, I've really enjoyed it. So more of this, please. Thank you. Yum, yum, yum. R.I.P. Pipey.
R.I.P. Pipey.
Beating up your creator in that way.
Yeah. Good job here.
Good
Apart
job.
Apart from Goldust, who stinks. Stacker 2 presents Fat Burning. Billy and Chuck attack the APA at the Friendly Tap. So the gays are here to defend their titles against the APA. But wait. The APA are the number one contenders, but they don't want to wait until WrestleMania. They just want to batter the gays. So it's a non-title match?
No, it's a title match.
Or is it title?
Fuck Mania, they're doing it now.
It's a title match, but they're among contenders, but they're not waiting for WrestleMania. But this isn't that match.
No, this is their. I think this is their Mania match. They're just having it now. Because the Mania match is different. Oh,
it's just because, hold on, they don't want to wait until WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Usually I hear that and it's just they don't even care about like it being the match they want. But okay.
No, they literally gone like, "We'll have our tag match on SmackDown, please."
Oh, okay.
Fuck waiting 3 weeks. We're going to beat these two up now.
It says, "The tag division isn't dead. Stop saying that." The APA surprisingly hit their version of the reverse 3D that the Duds used earlier tonight.
Damn it, D-Lo.
Crowd is dead for this one. Sided beatdown until Billy hits a famouser. Attempting to turn Chuck over without Teddy seeing it, but Teddy sees it and ignores it, and the crowd doesn't give a shit about it anyway. It's been one great segment, then one shit segment this week. It's like Star Trek movies. Oh, and apparently that was the finish as well. Wow, I really wasn't into this.
That was it.
So the gays win.
Bit of a nothing match, but we will get a title defense at Mania, but they'll chuck in a few other tag teams. I'll give you a guess as to who.
They've realised, wait, we can't do the APA versus the gays at WrestleMania? That can't be at WrestleMania? That? Ooh. We'll do on SmackDown instead. That'll go really well. Oh, crowd didn't like that. That's that bullet. Backstage, Maven is dead.
RIP, Maven. So Golden, Maven's in the medical room next to Pipey.
RIP, he was not tough enough.
RIP, Pipey.
Goldust sneaks up on him and pins Maven because the hardcore title is 24/7 again? Wait, since when? Or was it that No One Dead attack Undertaker when he had it?
That's what it was.
Okay.
I'm all right with that. No one wants to fuck with Undertaker. So, like, yeah.
Fuck with Maven.
Have it as long as you like. I'm really sad that Goldust is so unbelievably generic in this current run. Like, you could put anybody in that role that Goldust is doing. He's doing nothing of any... The last Goldusty thing he did was those promos going, "Oh, I'm going to meet the one on Monday," and it turned out to be Van Damme. No, everything else, you could have just supplanted anyone in this role.
"Oh, I'm going to suck badly in the ring tonight.
I'm going to have a shit match tonight.
Goldust 2002.
Goldust going to have a shit match. Wait till I get electrocuted, then things get much fucking better.
Star ratings, quite frankly, I don't give a damn. Gone with the mid."
Gone with the mid! Play the outro, we're fucking done.
This match will not be stellar, stellar.
This match will not be a view to a kill. People really don't like me on the podcast, right?
Where did that come from?
Because of gags like that. People...
Because the anti-joke.
In this realm, like, people are like, "Fuck yeah, this is the shit we're paid for. Give us more of that, daddy." I know my level. I know where I fit and where I belong. And, like... I'll do the podcast if we're short, but I promise not to burden it as often as I can.
People who listen to this are cool as fuck.
The coolest fucking people listen to this.
They're all gay.
You're all gay.
I've seen your messages.
I've seen more than your messages.
Damn it. You told me to share them.
anyway.
As if these bits weren't wanky enough. So Hogan's been Lawler, shill.
Oh, yes.
As if on UPM and shill it like the old Who's On First skit. Oh, the show As If. What's the name of the show? It's called As If. As If is an American comedy drama adapted from the British TV series of the same name, which aired on UPM from March to March. It served as a mid-season replacement for Roswell, aired on Tuesdays on UPM after Buffy. The cast included Emily Corrie, who portrayed Suze in the original UK version. The series was part of the network's TV evening 9pm slot, which it got cancelled. I've never heard of the UK version of As If.
Yeah, it was a show from, I think it was on, I want to say it was on Channel 4, like late night in like the mid-90s.
Doesn't ring any bells whatsoever.
It was a very mid sort of young adult drama type thing. And I'm not surprised America had their go at doing it, because I love when America tries to take a British institution and give it the old college try. Oh, I watched recently, I think I might have talked about it on here, that American pilot of The Vicar of Dibley.
I didn't know that happened.
Starring, instead of Dawn French, they got Kirstie Alley.
Okay.
It's fucking bad. I'll send you the link to it.
How's a small town work in America? It's like, with a small population of 500,000. like how the fuck is that? Even the fucking farms have got
casinos.
They've
somehow done it. Like a little church, God-fearing village in America. In backwater America. And they kind of merged two or three different plots of different Vicar of Dibley episodes together in one. And, like, it's weird hearing some of Dawn French's lines coming out of Kirstie Alley's mouth.
Wow.
Very odd. I went through... there's a couple of great, like, American pilots on YouTube at the moment. There's the Only Fools and Horses one.
Oh, God, really?
It's fucking bad, mate. Oh, my God. It's dreadful. Have I not told you about it? It's dreadful, mate.
But what year was this?
I think... I want to say, like, only a couple of years ago.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. It stars, right, playing Grandad. It's fucking Christopher Lloyd.
Wow.
Yeah, a heavyweight for it. And they still went, this is shit. They're Trotters. They're still called the Trotters. And it's Donnie Trotter instead of Rodney Trotter. But Del Boy is in it. And they've got a Wheeler Dealer mate in the pilot episode who sorts them out with a monster truck. Who's like, yo, man, I got you this motherfucking monster truck. Hey, man, cheers, Trigger. No, you're not Trigger, you fucking maniac. Ooh. Like, it's a young guy called Trigger. Yo, what's up? I've got your fucking monster. Shut up, America. You're doing it wrong. It's dreadful, mate.
I like the Red Dwarf USA pilot. One, because they asked for permission to include it on the DVDs, and they went, oh, it's going to cost this much. We'll just use clips instead. Yeah. Because obviously you talk about how it doesn't work and translate, et cetera, but it does feature a really good joke where, obviously, Red Dwarf, the idea is Lister is in suspended animation for 3 million years and wakes up and obviously there's stuff happening. But, like, in the original UK show, they find Crichton unrelated to anything a few series into it.
Yes.
On this, obviously, he's there straight away. It's played by the dude from the...
Robert Llewellyn,
yeah. But they go and goes, so you have to, wait, he's been on the ship the entire time? So obviously that's different, the UK one. So they find this head on the shelf and he goes, Crichton, you've been on this whole time? He goes, oh, that's right, sir. He goes, what have you been doing for 3 million years? And he goes, I kept myself amused by reading that sign. And he looks over the sign that says, don't run. Oh, hey, that's a good joke. Obviously they can't use it in the UK one, so it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the jury talks on the phone.
Daphne from Frasier is Holly. Thought I'd shut that in.
Real? Yeah. Really? Oh, God.
In the pilot, in the American pilot, it's Daphne from Frasier.
Okay. They all look like Americans.
Yeah, I know.
Dejiri talks on the phone to what Booker T thinks is the Japanese shampoo people. He tells them that he's going to be their spokesman. Sayonara, says Booker T. Dejiri tells the person on the phone that Booker T's a jackass. As I guess the idea is Dejiri just says funny things and you can't do that twice a night. Oh, wait, man. And then we see Hogan Saga. Oh, we don't see it. We hear Colin Lawler talk about it. During the break, Cole asks if JR is asleep, and we hear Lawler do an impression of JR saying, no, I just don't give a shit. Do we see this saga?
Yes.
I didn't see it on my version.
So, on the WWE Network version, we do see it. It is a full video package that starts on the birth of Hulkamania to the soundtrack of Real American. It documents his run into the WWF all the way up to like WrestleMania 9. The music changes and Hogan goes, "You fans threw me out of the WWF." And then it cuts to him signing to WCW. And I believe this is one of the first times they've used WCW footage properly. So we see Hogan coming down, going through the streets in the red car with the ticker tape, walking out on the set of Nitro, doing all this. And then you don't get much of that. And then you get the leg drop onto Bash at the Beach. It cuts into the NWO footage of Hogan, a whacker, hey, hey, as all the spray paint NWO on people, like, why be good when you could be bad and civilized? And then it changes up to footage from No Way Out. The Poison is here. It shows them battering The Rock, running the truck into The Rock, smashing the cinder block into Austin's foot, spray painting Austin. And then it sort of inexplicably cuts to like Hogan, like good guy Hogan stuff from across WWF and WCW, but it's set to American Made. He's American made. Like, whoa, this is on WWE. This was the ripoff of Real American that is now canon.
It was the better song, damn it.
The better. He was born, all that other stuff in the US of A. That one.
American made.
And then that sort of crackles and bursts and bleeds through. And then it becomes, hey, hey, NWO Hogan. So it's a really good video package that tells the entire story of Hogan. Almost runs the risk of baby facing him a bit. Because it shows you, this guy's a fucking icon. What I love is, though, that earlier in the night, Hogan was like, well, I'm working on this spectacular saga, so I'll let you guys sort out Austin. I'm going to go finish it off. And I've just got this image of Hogan, like, hunched over a laptop using, like, Final Cut Pro, going, oh, brother, I've got to cut this down because the music's bleeding over. Why didn't I fucking install After Effects? Don't pull it. Store for time. It's encoding, brother. I love the idea.
He's videoed in full gear.
Yes.
Sing along the song.
Still in all of his fucking gear.
I should let Doc Savage just as the drops.
This was really good, though. I encourage you to seek it out, anything from that. It's just a really nice video package about Hogan, and it tells like the full story, even with the WCW departure and everything, and they leave no stone unturned. It's very good.
Well, that's nice.
Like, I think a reminder for new fans, this is who Hulk Hogan is, by the way, in case you needed reminding.
Yeah, and I think you're saying, oh, they're at danger of turning Hogan face. Nothing can stop that at this point.
No, but I also like, although the idea of Hogan being hunched over a laptop editing this is funny, the fact that it's Hogan saying, I'm putting this together, I think is right, because the idea that Hogan's come into the system and he's a bad guy and, like, he's propagandering his own thing. So he's like, I made this package all about me and Vince has green lit it. So I'm going to play it, brother. I've cleared it. So that kind of adds to it rather than what WWE might have done in years later. Have just gone, here's a bit about Hogan. Like, no. I like the idea that they just say that Hogan sort of sanctioned this to be made about him and he signed off on it. It's very good. I like it.
Booker emerges from the back as Lawler tells Booker to stay away from the fire. He doesn't want to end up like Michael Jackson. It's a reference out of nowhere, really.
Has he been burned by...
I know what it was. Michael Jackson obviously had that instant when he was filming a Pepsi commercial. But like, what's that going to do with anything?
just a pop reference.
Then we find out that Wolverine Boots and Shoes are sponsoring this. Come back, lugs. Also, the 2002 film version adaptation of the Time Machine book. Which I didn't see. I saw the one from the 60s, 70s.
It's the one with Samantha Mumba in. I seem to remember that we had a lot of them in the the pre-owned DVD drawer game. I feel like I got traded in a lot. It's the one with Samantha Mumba. It wasn't a terrible film.
Yeah, well, people beg to differ.
Yeah, apparently.
And of course, Booker's opponent is Scotty Too Hotty, because look at that hair. He's clearly a rival for this. Booker really hams it up here to emphasize his knowledge of Kung Fu by missing a kick. So we get the Scotty Too Hotty special, going for the worm but getting hit and pinned. But as Booker celebrates, we see that Edge is being congratulated as the new spokesperson because he has hair like a lion. Booker is raging. But what a weird feud this was. Then we get a special thing for the crowd. I'm not sure if this air on SmackDown. As Albert attacks Booker and lets Scotty land the worm for real. Yeah, thanks, lads. Neither of you are at WrestleMania.
No, we didn't get that. That was
just a
little treat for the crowd. That was nice. I like it. And you know, teaches Booker his role. interestingly, because he's a WCW guy, and it's like, now remember, you can't look too good against the WWF guys. Right now, we need to bed you in front of the year before anybody knows who you are. Mm-hmm. Fun match. I thought Booker's finish combo, I'm going to get into the weeds on this a little bit, I apologise, because obviously the axe kick would historically be his finish. Mm. But in this match, he does the axe kick, he does the spinneroony, and then he does the sidekick. Mm. And that's the finish. I wonder whether WWF want him to have the spinneroony as like a power-up taunt for doing the big move, a la a people's elbow, how it has the...
I wasn't sure if he did this just because of the, like, Kung Fu Shampoo.
Possibly
we'll
that
see.
As
we'll
well.
Have to see this interesting storyline about hair shampoo develops.
According to Booker T on his podcast, Bruce Pritchard first approached him and said, we want to do a hair versus hair match with you and Edge at WrestleMania. Ooh. And somehow this got turned into a program where they were fighting over a shampoo sponsorship. I guess neither wanted to lose their hair at this point.
Yeah, you know, I'm all right. If that's the choice, I'll take shampoo.
This storyline does actually get an epilogue, which not many people know about. It gets an epilogue in the video game WWE Crush Hour, in which during the game, you can see Edge's hair shampoo commercial.
Oh.
Yeah, using like the video game version of Edge, he does a Japanese hair shampoo commercial in Crush Hour. So if you ever wanted to learn a little bit more about that storyline, there is a lesser-known epilogue in the game Crush Hour.
Yeah, because did you know that these big American stars, they go over to Japan and they do these wacky adverts, ha ha ha, for a shitload of money, apparently.
Mm. Oh, God,
and under the assumption that no one will ever see them in the West. But obviously, thanks to YouTube, we've all seen them.
Yeah, it was something that was parodied in Friends when Joey did the lipstick advert for men. Like, and it's quite a common thing to go over there and make some money.
I'm not sure what the point of having a wrestling feud is, but it's like, hey, that's a thing we all know. We know. Do we care about it?
They seem to be overly wacky at the moment, WWF.
Yeah.
Overly wacky.
Yes. But not as wacky as Michael Cole during the break getting mad at Timmy for making a graphic for a match tonight that ain't happening. He has to keep on saying it's not happening, it's not happening. And Timmy's not listening to him, so Cole just yells, it's dead, Timmy, it's dead. Jesus.
What's the match?
I don't know. We just hear him go, no, it's not happening.
Oh.
No, Timmy, it's dead.
Oh, gosh.
It's
that
worse
was.
Than that. He's dead, Tim. He's dead, Tim. He's dead, Tim. WrestleMania moment is the triangle match, aka TLC Zero, from WrestleMania 2000. Mm. It's a nice match and moment, but damn it. Where's Bob Buchanan?
Give us more Bob Buchanan, you cowards.
Christian backstage is mad at himself for listening to DDP, who sneaks up behind him. DDP says, first, Christian needs to be nice to his fans. So some kids appear. DDP calls, it makes him smile at them. The kids call him ugly. The kids wonder why Christian's such a loser. Damn it, why did Vince McMahon script this? Christian says, I'm not a loser, but your dad is. Kids say, our dad left us. Kick him in the shin and run off. Well, kid, it could have been worse considering it's Christian nowadays.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is ironically, hilariously embryonic. I wonder whether this is where it began. Oh, that kid's dad's such a loser. I'm going to remember this day and not act upon it for 20 years.
Christian just hates kids. He's so relatable. DDP bemoans how hard it's going to be to retrain Christian to be nice. Before instantly smiling and going off camera. Christian last week quit. I guess he got better.
Yes, on Raw, DDP has enlisted his services to help get him back to winning ways. And has done such, it unlocked the ugliest smile in history via Christian's face. It's fantastic.
So great.
So good.
On Monday Night Raw, Stephanie says Triple H has a tiny dick. Triple H responded and said Steph has a huge vag. It says even a 747 would look small if you flew it in the Grand Canyon.
That was a maths notes. My notes. Recap from Raw. Steph says Trips has a tiny penis. Trips says Steph has a big fanny.
You need
we
two
both
lads.
Took the same thing
you
away.
You need two lads to like completely develop and envelop the dynamics of Monday Night Raw.
Speaking of envelops.
Stephanie interrupts Triple H and Kane backstage. Kane's like, I've got enough issues with Linda. Bye.
I ain't touching this with a barge pole. Cripple Kane!
Tiny dick. Steph says her lawyer is thinking of suing for slander. And Triple H says, well, my understanding of the law is you can't sue if it's true. Triple H also points out that the 50-50 settlement is fine, considering Stephanie spent last year buying ECW and trying to kill the WWF. That's a good point. Steph says no, because she made Triple H and deserves everything he ever makes forever, ever. Triple H thinks about hitting her, but he doesn't. Well, I've all been there.
If the hand fits, you must acquit.
Yeah. Just more stuff of Triple H showing how cool and sexy and how big dick he is compared to his silly wife with the huge vag. Wait, Lugs of the Week is here.
Yeah, DJ Lugs.
Ah, WF, like a successful OnlyFans account taking all the foot money. Matthew's one good line.
Great joke.
Anyway, Kane attacked Kurt on Raw out of revenge for Kurt breaking every bone in his body last week on SmackDown. So he's teaming up with Triple H tonight to batter Kurt and then push Jericho off the ring apron during his opening pose. Kurt gets a body drop, but he spends like a good second in the air before slamming and shaking the cameraman who was too close. Good God, man.
Bitch, Jericho.
Kane beats up Jericho some more until Jericho tags out to Kurt as Stephanie applauds. Yay. Kane lands the Twirl the Whirl, which we haven't seen in ages. Then Jericho and Kurt double-team Kane.
This is the main event, by the way. I don't think you mentioned it's the main event.
Oh, sorry. It's the main event, and crowd doesn't really give a damn.
Crowd don't give a damn, nor did Matthew didn't mention it. It's Kane. Sorry. It's Kane and Triple H versus Kurt Angle and Chris Jericho.
I said it a while ago, but it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
It's been a lot of Red Dwarf references. Triple H makes the tag, and they care a bit more. Your Triple H landing the spinebuster on Kurt. I thought, why do that? That's the move that crippled you, you silly Billy. And Jericho accidentally hits Kurt. Triple H tries to pedigree Steph again, but Jericho halts it with a belt shot, but Kurt can't pin Triple H, so he locks the ankle lock in instead. Kane saves him with a clothesline off the top, but Steph chair shots Kane to no effect. So Kane uses the chair on Kurt, so Triple H can pedigree Kurt, because yeah, sure, why let Jericho get anything? Jericho heads out of Steph looking like a bitch, and sure, that's the end, I guess.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just put a very...
No refunds!
A very TV main event. Trips wins because he's whatever. Got a big dick. What did you remember from SmackDown this week?
Wow, that's a grim main event. I remember the Regal Big Show. Actually, there's so much this week. But yeah, I'm going to go with a Regal Big Show, which I remember years later just thinking, oh, that was great, that. God, I watch SmackDown and think it's the same as the rest of the segment. It's not.
I remember the Hogan video because I remember my little 18-year-old brain being like, oh my God, WCW footage on WWF television. Despite the fact we've just had the invasion, this still felt special. Like, that blew my tiny little mind seeing that. And it's a really nice video package as well, all about Herc Hogan. What did you forget?
Austin is neck gun. Just... Wait, what are these lads doing backstage? Shampoo commercials. Jericho's a cook. Steve Austin uses a net gun. Why have we never done that before? Oh, I can think of a few dozen reasons why I've never used a net gun. First of all, did you just watch a James Bond film this weekend or something? A gun that fires nets. Yeah, it'll work.
Don't look at me, I didn't book it.
Yeah, you did. I blame you, Tom. Tom's nets, they never break most of the time.
I'd forgotten the great segment with Flair and Undertaker after the hardcore match.
Oh, that's
match.
A good one, actually.
Flair battering Undertaker and going, no, I'm not fighting you, you prick. Just because I like the differential of that, where normally that would be, yeah, I accept your challenge, see you at WrestleMania, you cunt. But this time it's like, no, but leave my fucking mates alone. It's great, and it adds more fuel to the fire, and it gets us to a banger of a match at Mania between those two crazy cats. So that was SmackDown this week. What are you doing this week?
I don't know after that, man. Yeah. I don't know if I'm coming or going.
It's hard to tell.
Some really good bits and some complete shit.
Yeah.
Building up to a very tedious WrestleMania overall. I will be putting out a new Botchmania that will be out now. Yay, woo, yay, jokes.
Ooh, yeah.
In preparation for the big old weekend we've got coming up with AEW and then Survivor Series the weekend after. I was going to be moving into a new flat, but it looks like that's not happening. Not due to any fault of my own.
Hey!
Matthew did nothing wrong ever in his life. I'll just be putting stuff in boxes still, I guess, and filling up the lovely Cultaholic office with more of Matthew's crap. What about you, Tom?
Full gear tonight. Come join Fraser Porter and myself.
Full gear. It's Tom's nose.
Full gear, or as we call it in my house, Saturday.
come watch it. We'll be watching Full Gear together on youtube.com/cotaholic/live. I popped my ears doing that. And then on Sunday on the podcast feed, the third and final part of Punkvember, Aidan Gibbons has written a dissertation on CM Punk's rise and fall in AEW. We have been dissecting it week by week. It is the third and final part this week.
Oh, what happened, like?
Oh, he had a rough old time.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Went all over the place, I tell thee. So you'll get that in the morning on Sunday, and then in the afternoon, you'll get a brand new episode of Match of the Month with Jack the Jobber on the podcast feed.
Oh, lovely.
So it's where Matthew, where Jack the Jobber breaks down for the world.
Oh, God, why does everyone hate me?
And then once he's done that, he talks about his favourite matches from October. That's on the podcast feed, waiting for you. Well, it'll be waiting for you when you wake up tomorrow. How lovely is that?
Don't say it like that. We're waiting for you to wake up.
We're waiting for you.
Hello, Danny.
My hello, hello, Father. Good morning, son. I remember Alex's mum was talking about a TV show that we should watch.
Oh, as we
were,
I always hate this.
As we were, recommend you something. No, we were talking about it, and then I said, "Oh yeah, we'll try and watch that next week." And then, to which point, she leans over to Alex. We're in a busy restaurant, and she goes, "Alex, watch it next week." And I said, "Why does that sound like a threat? Like, don't watch the TV show." She goes, "Watch it next week," as if she's going to come for us with a hammer.
What show was it?
I can't remember now. Probably Happy Valley.
Mothers who kill their daughters.
Mothers who kill their son-in-laws. It's due, to be fair. I am annoying. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the day, you can check out cultaholic.com. He's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Don Gamble on Twitter. Don't forget to join
Jesus. Us. That was a nice noise.
Don't
sound so professional, enthusiastic. And it was just like... We know you said it 10,000 times, but yeah, cultaholic.com. Thank you, yes. AW Full Gear, as Tom calls it. Cocaine! Wow, white cane, my favorite.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.